Today's daf is daf Pei Hei. We're holding on Pei Dalet, Amud Beis, at two dots. The next piece that we had in the Mishnah was the dinim of Tzar. Tzar, kiva'o bishpud o b'masmer. There it says, if somebody burns someone, either with a spit or with a nail, even in a place where it makes no chabura, such as his fingernail and so on. So, asks the Gemara, Tzar, shalom b'makom nezek mishtalei mantana. The Tan of the Mishnah is obviously saying, that tzar is paid even when it doesn't have any nezek associated with it, because the case that's given, where a fingernail, there was a burn under a fingernail, clearly is not referring to nezek, it's referring to tzar alone. This is a very painful thing, but it causes no change in the value of the individual on the market. Who is that Tana? Amar Rav ben Azai. It's going Aliba de ben Azai. The Tanya, the Braita here is talking about the Pasuk that is referring to the dinim, where we learn out these concepts of tzar. So there it says, kviya tachat kviya, petza tachat petza, chabura tachat chabura. So there the din is, adam is makya adam, pays kviya tachat kviya. Now kviya means a burn. So there it says, Rebbe omer kviya ne'emra techila, ubenaze omer chabura ne'emra techila. It's a strange machlokas. Which one, essentially, is said first? Obviously, the lashon of the pasuk is kviyat tachat kviya, petza tachat petza, chabura tachat chabura. What exactly is going on here in this machlokas? I mean, clearly, kviya is written fairish first, and we can't be arguing about how the pasuk is written. Says na Rava, I'll explain it to you. But clearly, Rebbe Savar, a kviya, when it says the word kviya in the Torah, it means a kviya without a chabura. So therefore, Rebbe says kviya nemra tchila, in other words, something that is only a kviya is what it means, not a kviya with a chabura. And therefore, had it said only the word kviya, we would have understood that that means that shechayev antzar even if there's no nezek. Therefore, continues the Torah to say, chabura tachat chabura, to be megala that the meaning of the word kviya over here is talking about dafka that there is a chabura. De'it ba chabura, so that there is in fact a chabura that will require now the tashlumim of ripui, which we learn from there. And only such a wound will be mechayev you in tzar. So therein, but ilo, if there's no chabura associated with it, it's only a matter of tzar, then lo, then there's no tashlumin at all. So therefore, when he says the words kviya nemra techila, what he means is that techila, the first word in the pasuk, without the continuing word of chabura tachat kvura, would have meant a kviya alone, without a chabura. But now, of course, that it does say chabura, so the din is that you're chayev only on a kviya that has a chabura. Mashen came benazai sava, that no, actually, chabura nemra tchila, meaning what? The kviya, which is said over here, would have meant on its own, the itba chabura. Let's talk about a kviya together with a chabura bashma. And therefore, we would not have been mechayev antzar, given only the word kviya, unless it was together with nezek, with a chabura. Therefore, comes along the Torah to say chabura, to be now megale, that when it said kviya before, that was referring to a kviya, the let bo chabura. And even so, there is tzar to be paid without any associated nezek. The Torah was mechayev, payment on tzar alone. So when it says chabura tachat chila here in the Braita, what he meant to say was that without the word chabura at the end of the pasuk, I would have understood from the word kviya alone. That was referring to a kviya together with a chabura. Now, of course, that it does say chabura, so the din is that you're chayev, even when there's no chabura. This is something like a miyot, hachamiyot, elo l'rabbis. So it's coming to tell me, even if there's no chabura, and therefore I say, and if that's the case, the Mishnah is going aliba to ben Azai. Because the Mishnah is being mechayev on tzar, that is not associated with any chabura, and therefore takes an example of a case where a guy causes pain to someone by burning his fingernail. Matki Flor of Papa. Says Rav Papa, this is the pshat, Rava. Adarab. If anything, Yibcha Mistava. The Braita, if anything, should have been exactly the opposite. The mission, according to you, is being Mechayev on Kviya Shein B'chabura Ben Azai. And not like Reb. Now, you must admit that that's a strange situation, to say that the Mishnah that Rebbe wrote is not going like Rebbe, it's going like Ben Azai Dafka. But if anything, the logic of the words of Rebbe and Ben Azai is indeed the opposite of what you're saying. That Rebbe Yoimer Kviya Nemra Tchila, What he means is that the kliyah, which it says in the Torah, is a reference to a kliyah that itba chabura mashma. Had it said only the kliyah, it would have meant the kliyah that is a wound, a burn that has caused the chabura. Therefore, katav rachman, the Torah now continues on to say, chabura tachat chabura, to be megala, that the kliyah that was said initially, the pasuk, is referring to a kliyah, the letba chabura. And that's what he's saying, that the kliyah that is said now, trilas is ready, indeed means, in context of the chabura later, a kliyah alone, without a chabura. Whereas Ben Azai says, no, Adarab, the chabura is now megala, the din of the kliyah, so the chabura nemra trilah. So he holds that the kliyah that would have been said in the pasuk without the continuation would have meant a kliyah, the letba chabura. And therefore he would have been chayev on tsar shelo b'makom nezek. Comes along, katav rachmana chabura. So now comes along the third to say a separate case of a chabura to be megala. The galuya led the kviyah, that the first word of the pasuk, kviyah tachat kviyah, is davke kviyah deit b'chabura. Then there's a tashlumin of tzah, if you're going to be mishalim also for the other tashlumin. But ilo, if there's no chabura, then lo. So that actually they were referring to a maskana kami, where Rebbe and Rebbe Ben Azai were arguing was how to understand the pasuk now that we're aware of the end of the pasuk. That's the pshat. So when they say techilah, it doesn't mean what I would have thought if I had only seen it. It means what I now know is the meaning of the opening word of the pasuk. In which case, according to him, it's Dafka Revi who holds that we're in the Maskana Mishalem, the Tsar, Shelo B'Makom Nezek. Now, another pshat, says Rav Papa, that I would say, is that the Mishnah could go according to Revi because Bechlal, this is a misunderstanding of the Machlokas Revi and Ben Azai. Hinami, Dekulei Alma Kviyah, could be that they're not even arguing about what the meaning of the word kviyah would mean. The word kviyah could mean in all cases. When it says chabura afterwards, it's coming to teach me that only if there's also a chabura, in which case I should have said that it's something like a klaloprat. In other words, had it just said chabura, tachat chabura, we would have known to be dorishit as a klal and a prat. So that would have meant dafka kviyah that has a chabura. The thing is, though, that petza tachat petza comes between it. So halacha, here the machlokas Rebbe and Ben Azai is in what is the halacha of how to be derish a klal prata muruchakim zeb zekamiflegit. Here the klal prata run not right next to each other because you want to be derish kviyah and then say that chabura defines kviyah as being dafka kviyah that has a chabura associated with it. So Rebbe savar ain't done another klal prata. The chabura is not memayit the meaning of the klal called kviyah, according to Rebbe. Because he says, you cannot be derish chabura as referring back to the kviyah. And memela, we're stuck with the way we understood kviyah, whether it has a chabura, whether it doesn't have a chabura. There's a tashlumim of tzah. So when it says, therefore, in the Lashon of Rebbe, kviyah ne'amra tchila, what it means is that the beginning of the pasuk is what we're left with. It says kviyah without any further prat, and therefore it means a kviyah, just like it says, with or without a chabura. Whereas Ben Azai holds, no, you could still be done in a tobechlal uprat. In which case, the chabura is now the way to understand the kviyah. And therefore, when he says the words chabura, nemra tchila, what he's trying to say is that since it does say chabura after the kviyah, despite the fact that it's interrupted by the petza tachat patza, it means to tell me a kviyah, dafka kviyah with the chabura. Therefore, he says that the first thing that it says in the pasuk over here is a chabura, because that chabura defines the nature of the kviyah. So now, that would be that the Mishnah, that's mechayev, on any kviyah, meaning like tzar shlobu b'akam nazak, is dafka going a little bit of Rebbe, not a little bit of Ben Azai, just as Rav Papa explained in his first approach. V'chi teima, maybe he'll ask, if the case is that since according to Rebbe, we're not darshaning it as a klal uprat, so then why does it say it at all? Chabura l'Rebbe l'amali. What's the point of writing the word chabura at all if it's not being memayat the klal of kviyah ben sheyeshima chabura ben sheyeshima? That's coming to teach me the damim yeterim, that if you have a kviyah together with a chabura, so then besides the din of the tashlumin for whatever it is that the damages are, you would also be paying the tzar. So had it only written kviyah, tachat kviyah, I would have said, whether there's a chabur or whether there's no chabur, you pay the dmei kviyah. But you certainly don't pay both. Kamash malan, that you pay both. So that's the damim yeterim. I don't call that extra, but it's certainly, it's coming out to be masbir, what the tashlumim are, which is perfectly acceptable and is not at all a wasted rosh. The next case that we had in the Mishnah is Omdin, Kam Adam Kayotzi B'Zerot Zelito. How do we know how to be sham at that tzar? So it says a strange statement. Let us see how much a person like this would be willing to take to suffer that kind of pain. And we're talking about now in the Mishnah with this tzar, without nezek, as we said. But how about tzar, b'mokom nezek? How about where there is already nezek that's going to cover cutting off his hand, for instance? Say, Eichi Shaimina? How can we estimate that? In other words, since already the mazik is paying for the value of the yad, so then that means that he has a right to cut off the yad. I mean, that's included in the damages as well. So how do we separate out the tzar component? So if we have tzar without nezek, then it makes sense to say, how much money will he take to be mitzta'er? But if he's paying him for cutting off the hand, so what's he going to say? How much would you take for my cutting off your hand? That's how much I paid you for nezek, basically. Omer avu ed Shmuel, omdim kama adam ratzel litol, liktoa lo yado. What? Says the Gemara, what's that supposed to mean? How much a person would take to cut off his hand? Cutting off, that's what the question was. Liktoa lo yado? Lo tzar lo chudeyu, then you're not paying tzar. Then you're paying kula chamisha dvarimika. That would be included in cutting off his hand. There's all types of other issues that he's going to take into consideration. So how could you possibly say that that's the way to be sham tzar? The ode, not to mention the fact. I mean, what are we talking about? People who are insane? B'shuftani askinan, who in the world would be take money to cut off his hand? Hello. Just like, well, no, of course that's not what it's meant. But rather, how much a person would take liktoa yado aktua to have a hand which was already cut off, but which is still attached to the body, although not functional, but still has tendons attaching it, not longer usable. There's no nezek over there, nothing else but tzar. That's not true. Even if it's yadrak to anami, it may not be nezek, but it's not only tzar. Lo tzar lechudeika, a tzar uboshatika. Well, it's a pleasant thing to take his flesh, to throw it to the dogs. Ella, this is what it really means is. Kama Adam, Gondim, Kama Adam, Atzeli Tolik Tola Yado, Hamuchtav Lamalchut, Bein Sam Nusayif. The question over here is, let's say that a person knows the government has already determined to cut off his hand. And now they're going to cut it off with a knife. How much would he pay now to they're going to cut it off rather with a sum. In other words, something that's not going to hurt. Essentially, have anesthesia. So how much would he be willing to take to have it cut off without anesthesia? To have it cut off with a sight? Says the Gemara here too. Amri, achinami, lo shakim, mitzar nafshe. I mean, a person is not going to take money in order to go through that kind of suffering. I mean, that's not fair to say how much would you take to suffer. That too doesn't make sense. Ellen says the Gemara, what it means is, amdim kam alim ratzeh litein, liktoa yadoa muchtav lemalchut, mitzayev lesam. The point of it is the contrary. How much would a person be willing to pay to get the government to cut off his hand, not the painful way that they were going to, but rather using anesthesia that shouldn't hurt him? Over there, the question would be, how much now it's worth to him? That's the real indication of how much it's worth to him, says the Gemara. But still, if the question is how much he would be willing to pay not to suffer tzar, then that doesn't fit in to what Avud Shmuel said. So, hi. Lito. This is the meaning of the words kama adam rotzel lito. How much a person would take? I mean, according to you, it shouldn't say how much a person is willing to take. It should say how much a person is willing to give. Litain mi barilei. Why didn't Avud Shmuel say the words kama adam rotzel litain, not lito? Amar Rav Unibrei de Yeshua. When it says over here lito, it means lito ze mize, mashanatan ze. It means over here, the same idea is to take from the chovel, is the pshat. What it is that he would give to the malchut, not to be mitztayer. So it does mean litain. In other words, how much the person would be willingly told, that is to say, according to which he would have paid himself, how much does he want to take now from the guy who did the chavala? The next thing we read in the Mishnah was a ripui is as follows. Ikohu chayav ravoto. And if there was any further deterioration in his condition, it's the case of the Mishnah, is that now blisters came out, or infections, so all of butzmachim, So im makata makacha yav, he's going to have to keep paying for those doctor bills. Tana Rabbanan, how about now, if after the maka had healed, alubots machim machmata maka, ministra maka, how about if these marks, these blisters came out, and the maka now becomes worse because of it, and goes back to the way it was initially. So there, chayav l'rafoto, v'chayav l'itelo, even d'mei shifto. There he's going to have to pay him not only for the ripui, he's also going to have to pay him for the additional days of work that he loses. But if the area becomes now covered with some type of blister, shalomach matamaka, then he no chayav l'rafoto, v'eino chayav l'itelo d'mei shifto. Then he neither needs to pay for his doctor bills, nor to pay him for the extra days off of work. Rabbi Yehuda Imer, af mach mata maka. Rabbi Yehuda says, even if, after the maka got better, things grow that come out now later because of the maka, even there he's only chayav to be merapam. But eno chayav liteno d'mei shifto, he no longer has to pay him for the loss of days of work. And the chachomim say, chachomim omrim, it always compares shifto urefuato. Terek compares the shevet, which is the money that he loses from work, and the ripui. And therefore, the rak shifto yiten rapo yirape, that's a posik. So that means that shevet and refua are interrelated, and therefore I say that that's not possible. Since it says shifto refuato, ko shai chayav b'shevet, chayav b'ripui. Ko shai eno chayav b'shevet, eno chayav in ripui. So therefore, even the doctor bills, he doesn't have to pay, if he doesn't have to pay for the shevet. And since over here you're saying he's not chayav in shevet, he will not be chayav for the ripui either. So as we have here three shitot. According to the original pshat, the chachomim, if it's machmat amakah, you're chayav in both ripui and shevet. According to Rabbi Yehuda, you're chayav in ripui and not in shevet. And according to these chachomim, now that close it, you would be potter both from ripui and from shevet. Mamaika miflagei, so what is the machloket here? I found now the Rabbonin that were in the Beit HaMidrash sitting and saying that Hacha we're talking about over here is that the blisters that come up because of the Maka are there because of the fact that he had wrapped it, put a poultice on this Maka and had wrapped it very tightly. And it was him wrapping it tightly that he caused himself to get now these blisters. And the machlokas over here is b'maka nitnala get kamifage. They're arguing over here whether a person who has a maka has the right, basically, to be wrapping it up in such a way that it protects him from the pain and from the cold. Even though he knows that the heat of wrapping it in this fashion is going to cause now these blisters to come out. So the original Tana holds Rabbanan Savre Makadit Nalaget, you have a right to go and to put on a tight poultice that heats the maka, and it keeps it now wrapped up tight, even though Lamaisa, that's going to cause possibly the growth of blisters, which will then themselves require treatment. Whereas Rabbi Yehuda Savre Makalonit Nalaget, Rabbi Yehuda says the person who was Nichbal does not have a right to cause himself further problems, medical problems, just in order to make himself more comfortable, therefore ripui. So where we have the chiyav of ripui, the tanabe, over there, the tanabe kro, the Torah repeats again, v'rapo yirape. So over there you would be chayev, even though you didn't have shus to be wrapping it that tightly. Bashenkin shevet, hello, tanabe kro. Since the Torah does not repeat the chiyav of shevet, all it says is rak shifto yitain. So that means that if you did something like that, lom b'chayev, since you didn't have a right to do that, so therefore you cannot be mechayev him either. Comes along Rabbah now to say, and I want you to know that that's what they told me. But Amina Lu Ana, I told them, to the people learning in the Beit HaMidrash, that this that you said, that Rabbi Yehuda Svara is, that even though a makah is not given into your hands to tie up tightly, that nonetheless you're chayev on the ripui because the Torah says, rapo yirapeh, which means even in such a case is a ripui, that I don't agree with. Because imaka lo nitnala again, ripui na milo machayev. I say that if the halacha is that you don't have a right to tie it up tightly, then the din is if you do, you do not have any chiyev to pay ripui to such a person. So ela de kuleyama, it doesn't matter. Both the chachomim and Rabbi Yehuda hold that maka nitna leged, but lo nitna leged yitira. Now here are the cases where the guy put it on very, very tight. So we have to assume that that's the reason that these blisters came out. So Rabbi Yudas Rava kivin lo nitna leged yitira ripui ditana bekra. Since what you did was incorrect, so there, where the Torah says you need ripui under all circumstances, and that's why it added the additional word rapo yirape. So on that, and only that, you would be chayev, where shevet lo tanim bekra, lo mechayev. Since the Torah does not, it repeat itself when it comes to shevet, so memela, when it comes to shevet, you're not chayev. But I mean, all of this is based on the fact that I had a right to do the egg, it's not a shevet. It's how much of an expert do I have to be to make certain that it isn't a little bit extra? So the gabe ripui, the other person is responsible for the ripui. The gabe shevet is that I take responsibility for myself. So the Rabbanan, however, hold that given the Tanur Mekra, Beribui Hashavasangi Mechayim. The Rabbanan agree entirely with Rabbi Yehuda. All they're saying is that once you're telling me that you're Chayiv and Ripui, by definition, you're Chayiv and Shavas, because the Iskish and Ripui, the Torah puts together Rak Shifto Yitain Verapo Yerapay, which means that the two go hand in hand. And if that's the case, you cannot distinguish between them. It's just the Rabbi Yehuda Savar, even though that you're Chayiv and Ripui. You're not chayev in shevas because the Torah B'davka goes out of its way to say, do not compare shevas and ripui. The miyate kra, the word rak, was mamayat. That's why it says rak shifto yitain. To say, don't think that the two are equivalent. So a shevet is indeed different than ripui. Whereas the Rabbanan, who are insisting that shevas and ripui go hand in hand, what do they do with rak? They say, rak comes to tell me that you do not to come to be mechalik between ripui and shevas, but rather to be mechalek that shalom machmat amakah. The word rak comes to tell me that where the tzvachim came, shalom machmat amakah, over there, you're not chayev in shevas and ripui. And we'll see a little bit later why I wouldn't think that that's poshut. What would the case be? And without it, I would have thought that I would have to pay, even though lemaisa, what was done over here, shalom machmat amakah. What about now the Rabbanan Batrai, the Amri Kosh Chayav B'Shevet Chayav V'Ripui V'Kosh Eino B'Shevet Chayav B'Shevet Eino Chayav V'Ripui. And since over here the Tzbachim were all of Machmat and Ege, that was not correct, they're saying you're not Chayav, not in Shevet and not in Ripui. So how do they explain the extra Rapoy Rapay? Ripui the Tadah Bekra Lomeli, why did the Torah then have to repeat Rapoy Rapay? Ah, they say. That's me by Rabbi Yishmael. The Tanya Tanya by Rabbi Yishmael, in the Beis HaMedrash Rabbi Yishmael, they had a braita, famous braita, which darshans the rapo yirapay for something very fundamental. That rapo yirapay means, mikan shenitan reshut l'rofei l'rafot. From here we learn that there is a reshus, and therefore a chiyuv, to go out and to be merapa someone and not to say, well, HaKadosh Baruch Hu is the rofei ne'aman. And, I mean, if he wanted this guy to be well, he certainly would have taken care of him. I should not interfere in the dinim of the shamayim. Therefore comes along the pasuk to tell me that there's a chiyuv on a doctor to be merapeh, and one who is not merapeh is someone who is the equivalent of shefei damim, as the Rishonim tell us. Tan Rabbanan minayin shibanu bo tzbachim machmat hamakah v'nistra hamakah shechayav l'rapot v'chayav liten lo shifto. How do we know that if after the makah gets better, now, there nonetheless are left now blisters that have appeared over here because of the original injury, but, as we said before, because of the way that he had tied it tightly. So where do we know that nonetheless you'd still be chayev l'rafato, and you'd still be chayev to pay for his lost working days? Talmud lomar, rak shifto yitain, v'rapo yirape. So therefore it comes to tell me, since it says ripui, double lashon of ripui, you're chayev and ripui, and shevet now is compared to ripui. So yochel afil shalom achmat amakah. You might think that even where what comes up later cannot be traced to the makah, you would be chayev. Talmud lo marak, therefore comes along rak to tell me, no, I'm only chayev if it's machmat amakah. Rabbi Yosi, Rabbi Yudomer, af machmat amakah patur. On the contrary, even if it's all but smachim that are machmat amakah, since that's not directly what you did in hitting him, but only an outcome, you would be indeed potter. So shenema rak, you're memayet now, cases where it was not the direct result of the makah, but which was rather, ola because of the makah. Now, ikeri amri, some explain that the Torah that Rabbi Yosef Rabbi Yehuda is giving over here is that af machmat makah means you're potter legamre, both from shevet and from ripui. This would be the equivalent of the Rabbanan Batroi in the Braita that we just learned, that say that you're potter on Boshevet and Ripui. V'ikri Yami, in other words, af machmat amaka, in only means you're potter from Shevet, potter from Shevet, but you're still chayev in Ripui, because of the double lashon. Keman, who would he be holding, Rabbi Yehuda, Rabbi Yehuda? Who would he be holding like? He would be holding like Rabbi Yehuda. Kiavu, like Rabbi Yehuda, his father, who said exactly that in the You just explained the Braita by saying that you might have thought that you would be chayev to pay even, where the tzimachim were only not because of anything traceable to the maka. Therefore, the Torah has to teach me, Rak, that you're not chayev. I mean, what in the world would I have thought such a thing? Shalom machmata maka boy kwa, I need a pasuk to tell me that you're potter from something that has nothing to do with the maka. Amri says the Gemara, my shalom machmata maka. When we say here in the Braita, it's not because of the maka, it doesn't mean that it's literally shalom machmata maka. It is machmata maka, but it was avoidable. What happened over here was because he didn't listen to the doctor's instructions, it ended up being a machmat hamaka. Let's say the doctor told him don't eat honey or sweet things because they're bad for a maka. And he goes, Edna v'yochal dvash, or kol minei metika. He goes and he eats things that are sweet. Such things are not good for a maka. Because of this, he'ala makato gurgutni. So since he wasn't listening to the doctor and he thinks he's so smart and ate all of these things, so now he was infected with garguti, which we will explain in a moment. You might think that since ultimately this came up through the makah, so I mean, just because he didn't listen to the rofe, that's only a fine. It's like a groma that he's responsible, but lamaisa, this is a direct result of the makah. Therefore, Yocho Yechayav L'Rapoto, you might think that you would indeed have to be Merapim. Talmud Lomar Rak. Therefore, I need to know that Afal Pi Ken, that it was because of the Maka, he was Mechuyev to listen to the doctor. If he didn't listen to the doctor, I don't have to pay. My Gargutin, by the way, what is exactly a Gargutin? Omar Abaya, it's not a Kerichta. What it is flesh now that has actually turned gangrenous, and it's no longer going to heal. So is there anything to do for it? Maya Sutta. What can be done? You put on it ahala, you put on it alobes, the kira together with wax, the kalba, and you also put on the exudation of the type of resins that come out from wood that is used now in making barrels of wine. That's Rashi, the winemaker's complex explanation. According to the Aruch, it simply means butter. So in other words, if the tzimachim kam machmat hamaka directly, and there was nothing that could have been done, they were unavoidable, everybody holds your chayim and shevis and rifa. If the tzimachim came because of the way that you tied it, it was too tight. So according to the Chachamim, the Tanakhama, you'd be chayiv in ripui and shevis. According to Rabbi Yehuda, you'd be chayiv in Ripui, but not in Shevis, because of Rapu Yerapeh. And according to the Chachomi, that closed the Braita, you would be chayiv in neither Ripui or Shevet. Now, if it was Allah, Shalom Machmat HaMakah, so if it's literally disconnected from the Makah, then there's nothing to discuss. If it was Allah Machmat HaMakah, but it was only there because you didn't do what you should have done in listening to the doctor's instructions, so there we learn from the pasuk that indeed you're potter on all types of damages. Now the e'amalei, if now the person who causes the kavalah says, look, I'm a doctor, hasiach ana, I will take care of you and I will not pay doctor bills. Amalei, everybody here agrees that the person who is the victim can insist that he wants another doctor. Because damita alaika arye arva, you don't look like a doctor to me. You look like a crouching lion. The amale, if the one who causes the damage says, "Maitina Asya, the magan b'magan," I will bring you a doctor, friend of mine. he won't charge, but I don't want to pay for a doctor. There too, the victim can say, "Amale Asya, the magan b'magan, magan shavya." A doctor that he owes for nothing is worth nothing. The iomar, and if the causer of the damage, the mazik, says, Chovel says, "Maitina lach Asya rechika," I will bring you a doctor from a faraway place who will help on my way. Asya rechika ina avira. The saying goes, Asya rechika ina avira. A doctor who comes far away couldn't care less, because he's going to be leaving. His reputation is not going to be ruined. And if he does something and causes me to go blind, it's not going to affect him. And because of that, I refuse to have a doctor like that. If the victim says to the chovel, Havli l'didi, give me the money that you would have had to pay the doctor, and I'll take care of my own refuah, then Amar le, the chovel could say to him, no, because Pashat b'nafshcha v'sharkaf b'noitvei, you're going to do a lousy job of taking care of yourself, and then you're going to end up suing me for more money, claiming that it's machbat amaka. The Amala, if the Nechbal says, okay, so then let's define an amount that would have been necessary to pay to somebody, and that's it. That's the maximum that you'll pay me. Kotzli mikatz. Let's make the deal. Amala, the Chovel could still say to him, Kol Shekin, I don't want that. The Pashat Benavshka Vakorli Shara Mazik. You won't take care of yourself. You'll keep the money, and I will end up being called by people, Mr. Shar Hamazik. Because since you don't have enough money, and you may not realize what is necessary, you won't do what's necessary, and I'm the one carrying the burden of the reputation damage and having caused damage that was permanent to you. Continues the Gemara. Tana, v'chulan bishtalmim v'mokam nezek. So what we've been discussing now is five separate tashlumim. Besides nezek, we have tzar, sheves, ripui, and boshes. We've been discussing the concept of tsar in the presence or the lack of presence of nezek. The Braita now makes it clear that all of the four other tashlumin are paid even where there's nezek being paid. And we do not say that the payment for the entire aver in terms of the nezek includes the various tashlumin, such as the loss of work and so on. So how do we know this? Since petza tachat potza is extra, because we already have kviyah tachat kviyah and chaburah tachat kviyah, this comes to tell me that under any and all circumstances, one pays a petza tachat potza, which is litain tsar b'mokam nezek. We're going to go through each one separately. So in the context of tsar that we were talking about in kviyah up until this time, petza tachat potza tells me that nezek does not subsume tsar. And we learn that after b'mokam nezek from here. So that we can also expand this into the other tashlumin, as we shall see. The question is, of course, that we've already used that pasuk. Hi, this pasuk of Petzah Tachat Potza we learned back in the second parak is L'Rabba Shergei Kemezid V'Einis Keratz, and that comes to tell me that whether or not the person was Mechavein to do the Hezek, it makes no difference, and in the end, he's going to have to pay no matter what, but that doesn't tell us that even if he's paying for Nezek, he's also going to have to pay. Question precisely what is Rotzon and what is Mezid. Is it the same thing? So actually, Rashi says in a number of places that Rotzon and Mezid are really the same thing. Just in the contrast to Shogeg, we use the word Mezid. In the contrast to Ones, which means without will, we use the word Rotzon. However, there are other Mefarshim, and some explain that the Shogeg and Mezid is put together in as one. In other words, whether the Mezid and the Shogeg was Beones, or whether it was Beratzon, in any case, you would be Chayv. So that is talking about two completely different issues. But in any event, this is not our problem right now. The problem here is that the Pasuk is not extra. Says the Gemara in Cain, if it's only coming to tell me that, then it should have said Petza Bepotza. Why does it have to say Tachat Petza Tachat Potza? Shema Minatarte, therefore we have two drushes. One to tell me Shegi Gamezi Venis Keratz, and the other one to tell me that you also pay Tsar B'Mokam Nezek. Rav Papa Mishmei the Rav Amar, how do we know that the Tashlumin are paid even b'mokam nezek from the din of Ripui? Amar Kor v'rapo yirape. Why does it say it twice? To tell me litain refuah even where there's nezek b'mokam nezek. Says the Gemara, but wait, didn't we just use v'rapo yirape to teach me the drosh of the Tanan of Rav Yishmael? I'm Iboyle the Tanan of Rav Yishmael, the Tanan of Rav Yishmael v'rapo yirape mikanch nitna reshut l'rofei l'rafot. This comes to tell me that I shouldn't think that you have a right to say, well, look, if God wants the man to be ill, then what right does he have to go and to fix? I'm going to fight the Lord by trying to fix him. Let Hashgacha have its way. Therefore comes along the Torah to tell me, v'rapoyah paid, and indeed there's a rishus, and because of that a chiyuv, for a doctor could go and to be merapeh. This is similar, by the way, to the issue that people have. Why should I have insurance? If God wishes to punish me that somebody should come in and steal things from my home, I should suffer. Or that my home should bow, should burn down, I should suffer. But to insure against it. So anyway, Talmud Lomar Rapoy Rapoy. Therefore, I do not have an extra pasuk. So I think I still have an extra pasuk. Because in Cain, Tanya's Rav Papa. Nichtov kro verapo verofe yirape. What's about verapo yirape? If it's coming to tell me the din of a rofe, so say the rofe shall cure it. If you tell me verapo yirape, you're saying two different things. That you, under any and all circumstances, should see to it that there's a refuah, which means to pay b'makom nezek, and furthermore, a rofe should indeed be merape. So shmami no liten refuah b'makom nezek. Ask the Gemara, but I need even that. Vakati mi boila, I need a posik of rapo yirape, as we said earlier, lekide amran, lemitne be kro beripui, to tell me that, as we used it yesterday, in the early part of the daf, that even if tzmochim or alubo, because of the fact that he tied it on a little bit too tight, so he was chayev and ripui. In Cain, says the Gemara, if that's all that it would come, you could say, rapo rape, or yirape yirape. Why rapo yirape? So that means we have three completely separately mudim over here, including the additional chiyav b'mokam nezek, the chiyav of a rofe to be merape, and the chiyav as well of the tying it too tight. This limud therefore is left open for a purpose. Drosha shema mina liten refuah b'mokam nezek. So it's going, okay, but how exactly is there such a thing? In other words, b'chol de mashkachat lehu, we could find all of the tashlumin shelo b'mokam nezek, where there's no damage caused, but nonetheless, you need to pay all of these other things. I mean, okay, I'd like to see where that's possible. Tzara, I understand. We already said the case in the Mishnah. Shalom b'makom nezek eich mashkachat. Where are these cases? Well, tzar, that's kiriktani. That's as it says in the Mishnah. Namely, quote, tzar kiva obishpod obimasmer afilat ziporno makom she'enu asechabura. That's the case where you hit him with a fingernail, causing a lot of pain, but no damage. Ripoy, what was the case where you would have something that requires healing, but nonetheless you're saying there's no damage caused that would be rechayev the actual nezek? Where would that be? Ripoy. Well, it could be the cases like this, that the havi karvle mide, he had a problem, let's say because of an allergic reaction, and it went away. Vesolik, v'aisel asoma harifa. So now, in order, the mazik over here gave him now some very powerful, overpowerful medication, and which ended up now making his skin bleached. So achvei lebisrei, and it made him look like he had some kind of skin disease. So now he has to come along now and cure that. But there's no nezek. So the tzarich lo'isfel samal ankuti gavna lebisrei. There he would have to cure him of the discoloration. So that means he has to give him some kind of medication to restore the normal look of his skin. So that's a repoy, but there's no nezek. Where would the shevet? Shevet would be, for instance, to go on the hadke bedruna ubatle. Say a guy locks somebody up and causes him the loss of his work. Well, it doesn't cause any damage to his body. So now he sues him. He locked me in my house, didn't let me out for a week. I lost my job. I wasn't able to work that week. So over there, you would have to pay him for the demei bitul. Boshet, that's obviously could go on. I mean, the case would be over there. The rock with the ape spits in his face, whatever. But yeah, that doesn't take much imagination to figure out how you could get Boshet Shalom B'makom Nezek. Okay, so the Mishnah says that the way to establish Shevet is to be Ro'ina Tokilu Shomer Kishurin. Imagine him as the absolute lowest level of work. So he's a guy who sits around in the field making sure that nobody walks off with the squash. Turn around on him. Shevet, unito kilu shomer kishuin. The Im Tomar, so you'll say, is that fair? I mean, so then, laktami datadin. This guy used to be a mechanic who was being paid maybe $100 an hour. As a shomer kishuin, he's being paid a minimum wage. So, I mean, look, the chimitva chagavar, when this guy was well, the lav agra, the shomer kishuin, avishak. This is not the job he was taking. So why don't you pay him what he lost? Ella, the point over here is, I mean, let's say, if this guy he lost his hand. So what job would he have been doing? I mean, maybe he was an unskilled worker, but it certainly could have been Dali Davla for Shakal Agra. Certainly could have been drawing water. It could have been a Sabal. Even a Sabal makes a lot more than a Shomer Kishurin. Or Inami, in a case where, let's say, you damaged his leg. So then he would have been a gopher. He could have driven a Federal Express truck, right? So Azo B'Shliach for Shakal Agra. But that also is worth more. Even as an unskilled worker. I mean, any unskilled worker is still much more than just this minimum wage. No. Midata din lo lakta. Not true. There's nothing missing over here because shikwanatan lo dmei yadu dmei raglo. The value that he lost in terms of his long-term earning power was paid in terms of the market value for his slavery. So that's paid. Now, lemaisa, what he is a guy without a hand, a guy without a foot. That he's been compensated for. So now at this point, what kind of job could he do? A Sharma Kishuin. Fine. So at least pay him for the loss of work as a Sharma Kishuin. Omar Rava. Kata et yado, noteno de meyado. Somebody cuts off a hand. So he has to pay for the nezik meyado. And as far as the Shevet is concerned, for Shevet, we gave him the type of work that he could do without a hand. Shiberet raglo, noteno de meyraglo, for Shevet, ruino tokilo shomeret apetach. Somebody who doesn't have a foot. Okay? So he could still be a Shomer Petach to examine people to see if they're carrying a gun as they come in. I mean, he doesn't need a foot for that. So he has a yard, so we'll pay him for that. Simat eino. Noteno dmei eino. So you pay him the long-term loss as the actual vision of his eye. Veshevet, roino tokilo matchino berechayim. This is a guy who, even though he's blind, there's plenty of jobs he could do. He could empty out sacks of grain into a grinder. It's also good. Or Hirsho, if he gave him now a knock to the ear that deafened him, now there we said before, a guy is useless as an Eved with Fizacherish. And therefore, noteno to make kulo. You'd have to pay the entire value because he's unresponsive. Moi Rava, katayat yadov velo amadu. Suppose now he cut off a guy's hand. The Bezlin has not had a chance to be koveya what the tashlumin are. So there was no official estimate, no professional estimate. Before now, he had a chance to recover. She beret raglo v'lo amadu. And then the guy breaks a leg, and there still has been no chance to estimate his current value. And then before he gets over that, simat eino v'lo amadu. And then after that, somebody blinds him now. This guy blinds him now. Well, the b'sof kishon, the end, he figures, what the hell, I might as well just get rid of him completely. So now the question is whether each payment is indeed separate or whether you pay for the whole thing, just as a chirsha. No. Me, I mean, do we say, look, I mean, there was never any chiev that was defined by Bezdin earlier. So give me the law, I'm due. So now make charundana. So becharundana sagile. It's sufficient to have now the final solution. The final solution is the guy's worth nothing. And therefore, you're going to cool about it. That he pay for the whole thing all at once. And that should include everything. Or do we say, or do we say the man, the victim, has a right to a separate amida for each thing? What was lost for this? What was lost for that? The nafkamina would be that if you do a separate amida for everything, so then, the difference will be in the other tashlumi. So the other tashlumi, if I'm doing a separate chiyah for each time that he's attacked, so then I would say, we have to pay for each thing. Because clearly, nihi, the nezek v'ripoy v'shevet t'kochot v'chot lo yavin alei, it's true that you don't pay for each thing literally. I mean, the nezek is all-inclusive, obviously. The ripoy and the shevets are all-inclusive, because once you're paying the whole thing, then you've already included all of his income possibilities. You're paying for everything that was to be merapeh him entirely. So at that point, he can't be worth, it's kamanda katle dami, it's as if you killed him. You're giving him the whole thing. So how are you going to add more? Once you're paying everything that he's worth, he was paying him, so to speak, as an Eved. He doesn't have any more work to do. So Mamela, since you never had a chance to give him a ripoy in between, it's all going to be the same ripoy at the end. The question over here is the tsar and the boshet. That should be, perhaps, the kochot v'chot yoyim. So that, at least, should be estimated, each piece separately. The havelei tsar u'boshet, each one of them, was a separate tsar u'boshet each time. So that you pay them separately, together with the Meikulay, and that way you would be part of from all of them. So im tim zoloma. If you're going to tell me, though, that kima de loa madu, kev de Meikulay b'ari adadi, that since there was no separate estimation of damages or of tsar, ripo, shevas, and boshas between each makah, you pay him for the entirety all at once, what would be the din if you were amid him in between? But there wasn't yet a chiev that was defined by the courts. How about if amadu, mahu? Since between each attack we had an estimate of what the cost would be, so then he should be mechuyev to pay him for each one separately. Do we say that since it hadn't been paid, and now we're coming to be mechuyev him for the whole thing, so therefore it should be paid now all at once, and we should have a single payment take. Boy Rav, Shevet, what about Shevet for apochato bidamim? Where now you attack a guy in such a way that causes him not to be able to work, at which point the estimate is
that he should be completely better, but so long as he has not recovered, at this point, obviously, his value on the market is less. So the doctors are saying he's going to have a complete recovery. If you put him up in this kind of situation, people are going to say, forget it. Who wants to get into a sickbed? Mahu. So do you pay him, besides the shevet, the temporary p'chitut in his dummy, because his current market value is less, or not? Hechi dummy. Case would be, for instance, now, if somebody hits him on his hand, because of this, shrivels, he loses his ability. He loses his ability to control his hand. The doctors say his feeling is going to come back, he's going to regain the use of his hand. And so there isn't any permanent nezek. But if we would try to sell him now, he would be worth much less. So mine. Do we say kivan de sofar lachazor, since in the end we can expect that the hand will be fully cured? Lo yoyev lo velomide, you don't pay anything from the temporary loss. You're only paying the shevet, the fact that he was unable to work now. Or do you say, look, bottom line is, before the makkah, he was worth more than after the makkah. So of course, you're going to say, let him wait a year. Why should he wait a year? Right now, he's saying, I'm worth less. What would be the halacha that besides the daily shevet, I should pay him the overall loss in his value, even if you say that that's a temporary loss? So in other words, the market will take into consideration the temporariness of the loss as well. Tashma. Let's take a look at the Mishnah that we have later on. It says over there, if someone is Maka Avi Ve'imai, and he's Gerim Nebechabura, which is a Chiyamisa, or if he's Mechal Shabbos at the time that he crosses the Chavala. So over there, the din is that Kom Leib Rabbi Minei, and there's no dinim of Tashlumi. But Maka Avi Ve'imai Ve'losa Bechabura, or a Chayvah Bechaviron Yom Kippur, where there is no Chiyav Misa, there's only a Chiyav of Karet. So then it says, Chayav V'chulon Yat V'nezek Tzar Sheves Ripoi, and boshet. Now, if you say that lo asacha bura, it's an echidami, so how is it possible to make a nezek? We had this tashlum of a nezek without a chabura. Lav kagon shikor ayadov v'sofo lachzor. L'chayra, it's exactly this case. Temporary paralysis of the hand, and there's nezek, but there's no chabura. And it says, v'katani chaya b'kulan, that you're chayav on all five tashlumim. Says the not necessarily. I'm Yachmaskinon. You can cause nezek without a chabura. Kegon shechir show. You cause tremendous nezek by causing damage to his ears, but there is no chabura visible. And so memela bechiev now of bekulan would mean that you have to pay for his entire value, and you'll have to pay it for the tsar and for the boshet and for the riboy. Now the riboy. Obviously there would be no shevet in this case. Stosis points out. Because it's all included in the tashlumim of kulay. As we said, once it's tashlumim for kulay, you own him as an eved, and you could say, don't do anything for the rest of your life, I own you. Okay, so technically speaking, there's no shevis. But nonetheless, we could say kulam, because l'mais, we've got nezek tzar and ripui and boshet. So we're talking about, ask the Gemara, is that possible? L'asa chabura? V'amai rabba. Ha'chorer shetaviv neherak, v'shiyev shel harisha v'lo chabura. It's by definition impossible to cause deafness without having caused some internal bleeding in the ear. And because of that, there is a chabura. So it must be that tipata de dama nafla bu'udne. There's always some blood that has come into the ear and that has destroyed the nerves. And here we find that we're trying to give an explanation, which is against what Rav himself just said in terms of harisha. Okay, you're right. Let's forget about the case of harisha. Maybe the case is that he shaved him. Gilcho. I said, what's the problem of Gilcho? No, other. I mean, the hair always grows back, right? Oh, if that's the case, I know Bayan. I mean, that is exactly what we're asking. Do we say that something that causes, I mean, who's going to buy a guy that doesn't have any hair? So it's mafchit damav. So do you pay nezek? That was what we're asking. And you're trying to create a case where that's not a problem. Then this is the problem. So fine. So in other words, you're agreeing that we can bring a raya from here. I asked you to bring me a case where we don't get into the problem of sofo lachzor. I mean, there's nothing that is as sofo lachzor as a haircut. Amrei, Achmei, Eskina, and Kikon Shesacho, Nasha. It's talking about over here that you used what they had, which if you had today, you could make a tremendous amount of money on it, that you use Nasha, which is a type of a very, very powerful depilatory, the Lohada, where it does not grow back. And what would be the tsar under such conditions? The tsar would be, V'tzavchini, anekatufni, he has sores on his hair, on his head. And when he put on this stuff, it burned off not only his hair, but it burned these sores, and he suffered tremendously. And the ripui is clear, the boy is suye. He's going to need now a doctor to take care of what was the damage that was caused to his sores. And shevet, shevet could mean that he had a job as a clown. So he's Marakit Bekuvi. He used to be the one that attracted customers by the stores. They would have clowns going around. Who's going to look at a clown without any hair? The boy Mark Megavne Aresha. He's got to move his head back and forth like a vaudeville act and throw his hair back and forth. He's got no hair. So how's he going to be able to do his act? Velo Machvin. Now he can't even uncover his head. Miana Katufne. He's embarrassed. So since this was his job, you have to pay him shevet. Bullshit. And look how bullshit got him. He said, a guy who doesn't have hair on his hair taken off. What bigger busha could there be than that? So maybe the case over here is indeed not similar to our case of Soful Achzor. And nonetheless, it says you're chayev on all of them. But you certainly can't bring a raya from here to the abaya of Rabbah.